Welcome to Season 2 of Rooted in Reaching, a podcast about startups, entrepreneurs, and innovation in the South Bend, Elkhart region of Indiana. I'm Marty Mechtenberg.
And I'm Susan Ford. We're excited to share 16 new stories with you this year, and we're going to get tactical about how entrepreneurs are confronting challenges, building success, and moving our region into the future.
Welcome to Season 2 of Rooted in Reaching. We are here today with Amanda Havens, the curator of the South Bend Elkhart region's only female-led brewery and cidery. So it's a pretty exciting development.
Yes, and thank you for having me.
Thrilled to have Amanda here today.
Thank you.
So Amanda, maybe get us started. Where did the idea come from, and how have you brought it from an idea to where you are today?
Okay, so I have had a pretty extensive history working in breweries, starting in Madison, Wisconsin, and then working for the Mishawaka Brewing Company until they went out of business. And that's really what sparked my fire in the brewing industry, is working for them. They were a great company. They had a great thing going on. So when they closed, I felt we lost like the heart of brewing in our area. We have a lot of breweries, but at the same time, if you look at the breweries we have, we don't have many women owners. And across the industry, there's not very, it's not, you know, the numbers are definitely, you know, skewed.
Sure.
So when looking at our area, a couple things I noticed were, like, we didn't have a cooperative. We didn't have a brewery that was owned by the community. We have Brewworks. That's kind of rant. They have a, you know, they have an owner. But I wanted to look at something different that not only supported women of our community, but women of all income base. So if you're a single mom and you're a teacher, I wanted to do something that would include all income base. So about 8 years ago, I was sitting there at a brewery one day and just, you know, observing. And I'm like, well, what if we did like a female-funded developed cooperative brewery? So not only is it female-funded, ran, developed, but we consider ourselves the homebrewer's brewery. And this is really the basis of what our brewery is taking those people in our community that like to brew beer, have them be able to schedule a time to come into the brewery, brew their beer. We will sell it so they can showcase it. They will get a portion of the money back. And that's not only building the brewers out of our community, but developing that original cooperative idea. The women founded and ran just kind of like the people that were coming out to support me and talk to me about this concept were all women. And we started seeing this trend of not many men were jumping on board to our meetings. So then we came up with, you know, the Founding Femmes. And we can talk more about that whenever.
Sure. Yeah, I was curious about that. So from the beginning, though, the idea was that this would be a female-led cooperative.
Yes.
Or pretty early on that developed that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how has that gone so far? I mean, who were your first members, or how did you start to develop the board and the wider concept?
Okay. I think about 6 years ago, a buddy of mine ran a homebrew supply store out of downtown South Bend. And I had been talking to him quite a bit about, you know, teaching me the ways of brewing and making cider. I mean, he had everything there. So why not take advantage of it?
Right.
And at that time, I worked at Peg's, right, you know, two doors down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get off work. I'm going to go down to this brewing place.
Sure.
I'm going to learn everything I can know. And I had sat and talked to him one day and was like, hey, let's do like a home brew club. Can we meet here once a month, make a batch of beer? We can teach people who don't know. And that was like the heart of it.
That was the genesis of the idea.
Yeah. And so Cassidy Fowler of Eco Owl Press was my first person to come out. Her and her husband joined me. Yeah. Karen Hahn of South Bend Bicycle, formerly owner of Bendix Coffee Company. They both have been mentors and friends of mine for 10 years. So I've watched their businesses grow and sell. And, you know, I've pitched many ideas to them over the years regarding multiple concepts. So like those two women were pretty my basis, like the ones that really believed in me. And then Charity Stowe of Herstoric and Rachel Mosspan, they approached me this past summer because they had heard of my concept and they had this beautiful building. Yep. And that's what sparked my interest. And Cal Norman is the one that introduced me to the Awesome Fund. So I had like a pretty, I had let this concept go years ago.
Okay.
I really did. Like I got my master's in education, yep. You know, and when Charity came to me and showed me her building and talked to me about the Awesome Fund, I'm like, well, maybe this is a good time, you know?
Yeah. So why was seeing a building, why did that re-spark the idea in your mind? Was there something about a physical space and gathering the women together in that space to work and to make?
I think that the vision that they put together to me was pretty awesome. Like, they're female developers. They're trying to revitalize South Bend in downtown, which is what we need. And it was like, wow, you have this awesome space. You're awesome women. Like, maybe we should look back into this again.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So both of you, Charity and yourself, are working in fields that are primarily male-dominated here, right? The world of brewing and the world of real estate development tend to be male-dominated. Have you faced any pushback or doubters being women working in this space?
I think you're always going to have haters. I haven't experienced anything personally of somebody saying, this is a bad idea. I work for Bare Hands and Granger part-time, and Chris has been a great mentor to me through this. And it seems almost everyone I talk to in the industry is very supportive. They like the idea of that we're going to be the home brewer's brewer. You know, that's a big thing. We have a lot of home brewers that make amazing beer. So most of them see the concept and they're like, good luck with the women part. Go for it. That's the response I get.
Yeah, great. Tell us a little bit about the product, about what's being brewed as part of the network.
So right now we're just making cider. So it's pretty hard to make beer on a commercial scale. One, you have to have your permits, you have to have your licensing. So right now we're dabbling with our cider. My cider maker slash brewer, if you want to call it, Kat, worked previously with Crooked U. So she has some extensive experience in training. We have an event tomorrow. And this will be our first cider brewed officially by her. And so it'll be interesting. We did a black raspberry hard cider and just your regular hard cider. So we're still like real beginning stages.
Sure, sure. So tell us, how does it taste so far?
We're going to know tomorrow.
You haven't had a chance to sample it yet.
None of us have. So
this is a real true unveiling.
Yes. So we have like homebrew equipment. We would hope. So we're somewhat incubating out of Lang Lab right now. And we have a home brew kit. So we'll be brewing outside once the weather permits.
Got it.
And then as we raise funds, we'll buy equipment. We'll find our space.
So tell me about that. As you raise funds, what is the vision going ahead a year or two? Where would you like to see the cooperative?
Well, in a year or two, I hope that we're open and thriving and making everything you could imagine, from hard cider to beer. We've even talked about seltzers. There's a plethora of things that you can do in that space. So
yeah, that's great. So, but there's multiple brewers at work here.
Yes.
So you'd have, you know, Amanda's cider or Kat's beer or someone else's hard cider. Is that the model where everyone is bringing what they do through their home brewing efforts?
So you'll be brewing in our space. So your home brewers, you know, will have a schedule. You can come in and schedule the time that you're going to brew. Our home brewer will obviously have our own home beer, our house-made cider, our house-made beer, our product. But it's opening that up to the community to showcase theirs.
Okay. So even though this, in this case, it's a female-led cooperative brewing in a specific space, it is open to
anyone with homebrewing experience.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. So female-led, but open to the whole community.
Yep.
Anyone who wants to dabble or experiment or get into the homebrewing business.
Yeah.
And as people brew, are there that their product will be available in the space to sample?
Absolutely. So the goal is, if you're coming in to brew in our space, you absolutely have to have the experience to brew at the size that we're at. And if not, we want to offer classes and courses so that you can take, you know, your small homebrew product and push it to our scale. And then once they do that, yes. So they'll come in, they'll have their scheduled brew time. They'll brew their beer. We'll put it on tap. They'll get a percentage of the sales. and then with potential to earn, you know, more tap time in the future.
Sure, sure.
So,
excellent. And what's the vision of this of the ultimate space itself? Like, do you see? So, there's a brewing operation, right? That's sort of behind the scenes, the operational part of it. But there's also a side of it that is sharing that product with the community.
Yes.
Do you have a feel for what you want that to be like?
We do. So, you know, I've lived in South Bend for 20 years. I have a lot of small scale entrepreneurial friends. So we want this to be a shared space where those people can come in and showcase, sell, provide, you know, their products. You know, A Bite With Me, we would like to sell her products, or local art on the walls. We want it to be a shared community space. As our community is growing with these shared spaces, I think it's important for us to keep building those up.
Yeah, that's great. That does sound exciting. So not only beers or ciders or other products brewed by homebrewers, but also food products being created by locals.
Yes.
For
sale. You can sell your macrame if you want with us. Ah. If you're a maker in South Bend, we want your stuff in our place.
That's great. That's great. So let's circle back to the idea that this is an all-female-led cooperative. You mentioned a couple times somebody said to you, good luck with the women. tell us more about that.
All right. So our concept is Founding Femmes. We do not want to be bank funded. We would like to be community funded. So we're looking to 100 women to invest $1,000 to provide us with our first $100,000. That first $100,000 will allow us to get our licensing equipment and put rent into a space that we choose. So anyone that identifies as a female can be a founding femme. Mm-hmm. We will also have scholarship options. So our founding, the 100 women that are investing have the option to donate more towards scholarships for women with lower income to become founding femmes.
Got it.
We also have a payment option. So once again, like if you're that single mom teacher and you want to be an investor and an owner in this awesome thing, we have an option for you. So we want it. How often do you see a group of women come together to run an organization? You don't. And this is the opportunity to show that we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and not rely on a bank for funding. That's the biggest part, is I feel we have enough women in the community that can do that.
Can you explain why you don't want bank funding as part of the operation? Is there a philosophical reason for that?
No, to be real, like mom moment, like sure. I'm a single mom. Like, it's not easy for someone like me to go to a bank and say, I need $100,000. It's not easy for any women in our community to do that. So I think it makes us stronger as a whole if we rely on each other to invest that money to build what we want to build. Banks are great. And after the Awesome Fund, I had plenty of people wanting to throw money at me. And that's fine. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
But let's see what we as a community can build first, you know, and then go from there.
Got it. And so how's it going? 100 women, $1,000 each. Have you reached that goal? Are you still on the journey?
No. So we're still on the journey. We're pretty beginner's stages still. I believe tomorrow our website will be officially up and running so that if you would like to be a founding femme, you have that option. So tomorrow night was kind of like our opening event to say, hey, here we are. Look into it. If you're ready to invest, here's the QR code. Go for it.
Okay.
So we have a lot of big things coming up in the next couple months to raise our funds. It's just baby steps. I want to do it right.
Sure. So you're doing promotional events, tastings, like we're going to get to taste this cider tomorrow. And then as part of that, you're using that to build the network out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
How's the governance working? You have a board or do you have a...
We're very close to having all... So our goal was 7 to 9 board members. We're at 7.
Okay.
So I think we're content with that, but... As the next couple months comes and we get our 100 women, people are going to become more interested in those board spots. And we want to make that open to anyone that's a founding femme.
Beyond 9?
We'll think about it. You think we have 100 women already? So the founding femmes will all have voting rights. So I think maybe topping out at 9 is a good option. Otherwise, you get too many ducks.
Sure.
Or what do they say? Too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Sure.
So...
And I'm assuming you're basing this model on existing models that you've looked into or that you've heard of in other communities, or are you sort of making this up as a new thing for the South Bend Elkhart area?
That's funny. So the cooperative model is known across the country. There's probably a dozen or more cooperative breweries. However, what we have not found is the female founded, funded, developed model. That is kind of something we started working with this past spring. When I took my original cooperative model, it was, what can we do that's even more unique and different than being the homebrewers brewery? How can we as women in the community pull together to pull this off? So, and it's neat. So we have a private Facebook group that we started back in April, just that general banter of what women in the area would want in a brewery.
Sure.
And now this has turned into our private Facebook group for brewers. And we have 187 women in there that I would say about 70% of them are ready to pull the trigger with their investments. So there's a community that wants to see it happen.
Okay. So you're getting close to the idea that you would have your 100 women ready to go and ready to put the money in to make this
happen. I would
say
by June 1st, I would like to have those 100 women.
Okay. That's great.
That's a lofty goal for a teacher and a mom. So.
Right. Still. Good. You know, a lot of these things, I mean, this sounds like a very grassroots effort the way you're describing it. And so you're taking those grassroots steps, building awareness, involving more and more people in the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. It's a learning curve. You know, I've never done something like this before. So every step is new and unique. And, you know, there's plenty of resources in our area that will do a lot for you. But I'm that person. I want to learn. If I'm relinquishing it all to you, I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to know how to do it.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So absolutely. I do want to take that grassroots approach. I appreciate, you know, all the effort and all the resources, but at the same time, it's great to do it yourself and to learn. And I'm not the only one learning. I have 7 to 9 women that are all entrepreneurs and they're learning. So it's neat.
Let me ask you about those resources. I know you mentioned early on in the conversation here about a couple of mentors that helped you along the way. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe more about how they helped you? And are there any other people in your world that have sort of helped you get to where you are today in terms of entrepreneurship?
Well, my father was an entrepreneur growing up. He worked for Bendix full time. And then in the evenings, he would go run his own contractor business. So I grew up watching him make that shift every day. And at 12 years old, I was running his ledgers for him, you know. So that was probably my biggest entrepreneurial influence. And I worked for a lot of commercial restaurants growing up and through my 20s. And I really want to say, you know, working for someone like Peg Dalton at Peg's, I worked for John Lutz and Granger, working for the Schmitz at the brewing company. I took the best from the best and the worst from the worst when it came to those experiences. And I think that's what's kind of guided me to where I'm at now. And I think that's what draws people to me. I've built a following in that industry for so many years because of what those people taught me. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Yeah. My father, starting with my father, you've got to work hard to get where you want to be in life. So I think that's probably my number one mentor when it comes to being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He never went to college. He graduated from Penn High School.
Okay.
He made a life of himself just being a hard worker.
Yeah. So then beyond your dad, like local women, you mentioned, I think, Cass Fowler at Eco Owl, and I didn't catch the name on the woman who ran Bendix Coffee.
Karen Hahn.
Karen Hahn, thank you. So they were influential early on in helping you develop the idea, or just you just tapped them for their expertise because they both were business women themselves? How did they help?
So the funny story is they both have been regulars of mine in the brewing in the area for quite a few years.
Okay.
And so I think in those general banter conversations with them on one side of the bar and me on the other kind of helped form some of my ideas over the years. And both of them have just been believers more of anything. Like, Amanda, this is great. Keep going. You know, like it if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It'll come together in a way that it's supposed to. And I think that push from both of them, and they're both successful business owners.
Right.
So how do you not take what successful women business owners have and, you know, adapt it to your thought process?
Sure, sure. No, that makes perfect sense. You mentioned being a little, maybe leery is not the right word, but you know there are other resources out there. You're not necessarily ready to engage with all of them yet. But when you look at the South Bend, Elkhart region, what kind of resources are you seeing that you think might help you in the future? And maybe what's missing?
I'm going to say what's missing is time to get to know all the resources. It's very overwhelming. You know, winning the awesome fund and walking into that room and all of a sudden you have people handing you business cards left and right and you're trying to navigate that. You know, I'm not super familiar with all of them in the area. I think maybe it would be nice, you know, instead of all of them handing you business cards all the time, that there's one central location, either online or somewhere locally that you can, and maybe there is, and I just don't know. Like I said, I'm new to this and I have a whole another career that I work. So a lot of the resources I'm not super familiar with, I'm going to be honest.
No, that's all right. It is. And we hear this a lot, you know, it there's a lot going on. There's a lot of resources and things shift from year to year as well. And it's hard to find like one spot to get all the answers
that you need. And it's intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe that's why I haven't reached out or gotten so familiar with, because it's intimidating. And I'm also, you know, a go-getter. So I want to do it myself. I want to learn how to do it myself. And a lot of those resources, they want to do it for you, or, you know, I'm still, like I said, this is a new process to me. Sure, so I'm learning.
Sure.
Once school gets out, you want to talk in 6 months about these resources and what I'm utilizing. Let's go for it. Cause I do, like I said, I work a full-time job right now.
Right. Right. So you'll have your summers. You don't work full-time during the summer.
No.
So you'll be able to focus more.
This is full-time this summer.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. And for the audience, Amanda's referencing winning the Awesome Fund pitch competition. So as part of Founder Factory back in November, Amanda was selected along with 10 other people and pitched to a crowd of several hundred on her idea, and was one of the winners of a $3,500 prize, which I'm sure got you some attention that you weren't expecting, it sounds like.
A very unique experience. Like the Awesome Fun I was kind of thrown into, it was very quick. It was, hey, this is in 2 weeks. I think you should do it. Put a pitch together, go. I'd never done anything like that. And I was like scared beyond, you know, not only that, a lot of the judges have been regulars of mine over the years. A lot of the people in the crowds I've known because they go into the bars and the breweries I've worked in for 20 years.
Sure, sure.
So, and then to actually win it, I was just shocked, you know.
Well, clearly your story and your idea is resonating with a lot of people in the community. And I think that came out during the pitch competition.
Yes. Very heartwarming experience.
Yeah. So, yeah. Excellent.
I'm still in shock, probably. It's like, what?
I mean, obviously you work full time, you're raising children, you're starting up this brewery cidery concept. What other areas of the community are you involved in? And what do we need to do here in addition to starting this amazing opportunity that you're talking about to make the South Bend area a better place to work and to live and to play?
I'm pretty involved in the school. So I'm a special education teacher. I coach soccer. I coach softball. I help run our student council. And I do part of our discipline committee. There's a lot. I'm really focused on our school building. I think that's the basis of our community. I think that's what we should be focusing on right now. I think for far too many years, we've tried to work on, you know, what does downtown need? What does that sector of our community need? And for me, I look at it as education is the basis of making our community successful. So when I decided to go back and get my master's degree, it was based on, hey, this education sector needs help. And I wanted to be part of that help. What can we do better? I think starting with our education system and making sure that our students are set up for success at any level when they're pushed out into the community. On top of my school and what I do, my daughter has special needs. So I spend a lot of time running her around town to A Place to Be Me, which is ran by Children's Dispensary in downtown. I'm definitely going to plug that because it's an amazing resource for special needs kids.
That's great.
On top of the school and my children, I don't have much time to get involved with other things. Would I like to? Absolutely. But I think that comes with time. You know, as my kids get older, I have the free time to participate and partake in other things.
Well, and it certainly sounds like between everything you just described and starting this and managing this brewery concept, that is a full plate.
It is. It's and I work part time in Granger. So
that's right. At Bare Hands. You said, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're learning from Bare Hands as well. How many different breweries have you worked at over the years?
5 total over probably 23 years, 25 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Started at the Great Dane in Madison, Wisconsin. Okay. Came here to the Mishawaka Brewing Company. I helped open Brewworks.
Wow.
Then I went to Bare Hands, I believe.
Okay.
But I've known Chris for a long time. He used to be a regular of ours at Mishawaka Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to work for him for like 10 years. So just the last year I started working for him and... You know, he's been a great mentor too.
Okay. Okay. Is part of working for him learning the brewery side of the business as well, or the business side of the brewery business?
I try not to dabble up there. They got a lot going on.
Sure.
You know, I've managed enough breweries over the years that I know what needs to be done. As far as the brewing side, I can brew a home batch of beer. I can make cider, but I cannot do it at the scale that they do it. I can't do it at the scale we'll be doing it in our brewery. And that's why I brought Kat on. So.
And what does Kat bring to the...
So Kat has, I couldn't give you her full resume, but I know that she has extensive brewing experience, maybe even some education in there too.
Got it.
And she's female.
Got it. Fits your model very well.
Right, which is what we're trying to strive for. Female board members, female brewer, female management, you know, female driven. It's not that we're against men, but it's that female empowerment that we're trying to create in our community.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's very pioneering in so many ways. I mean, we don't have a cooperative brewery here in South Bend. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't have a female-led cooperative brewery. So, I mean, you're taking on a cool concept with a really cool model behind it.
Yeah. And we want to give underprivileged people the opportunity to partake. I want the woman that works at Subway 2 days a week to say, I am an owner of this brewery, you know, and giving them that opportunity. How many times do women get that? You know what I mean?
Sure, sure, sure. Now, I probably would be remiss if I didn't ask on behalf of our audience, what are your favorite brews?
Ooh.
Is it a beer? Is it a cider? Like, what are we looking forward to here?
So I'm a huge Bell's fan. I'm a Two-Hearted fan and a Black-Hearted fan, which is their black IPA. It only comes out once a year on Valentine's Day, and you have to go up there to get it. But the majority, I like to drink IPA. However, over the past 5 or 6 years since I entered that 40s stage, IPAs just don't resonate as well. So I'm a big Modelo drinker.
Okay.
So we're looking at, you know, we want to supply a variety of beer and cider. You know, we have many people in our area that have celiacs that can't even drink beer. So we want to offer ciders that they're available to them, or spritzers, or a variety of options that are healthy for everyone.
That's great. I personally am thrilled and excited, and I can't wait to attend your event tomorrow.
Thanks, you're coming.
Which is in the Monarch building?
No, this
is
so
not.
The Monarch is still under construction.
Okay.
And we have not yet signed a lease with them. So it's all timing, you know. Right now we're kind of incubating out of Lang Lab.
Lang Lab. Is that where the event is happening tomorrow?
Yeah, the event is at Lang Lab tomorrow. It's in the front section of the building. There'll be a sign out. We'll be actually bottling. If you're not familiar with bottling cider, you can experience that. You'll be able to taste what we have. And if you're ready to pull the trigger on that investment for those 100 women, then that'll be a good time to start.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Amanda, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks.
It's been excellent, and we are excited to continue to follow your journey
as
you bring this from an idea that has gestated over many years, it sounds like, to a brand new concept in South Bend.
Yes. So join us. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And we do have a website, brewers.net, now that one of those things I can't relinquish. I'm learning. I'm building a website. So check it out. Send us an email. Leave us some comments. And join us for our meetings.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.